everyone, and welcome to another episode of Shared Brewing Podcast. My name is Tyler, and I'm here with my co-host and good friend, Joel. Welcome, mate.
Hey, how are you?
Good, very caffeinated, as always.
As always.
You know, keeping it ready to go.
Keeping the high energy, you know.
All right, not Podcast. Too much high. So today, we're going to have some fun, and we're going to chat about, you know, what it's like to actually get some friends into specialty coffee, and, you know, how they can start their journey. Just as we started, you know, a little while ago, you know, it might be 10 years ago, it might be 3 years ago, it might be last week. You know, I've chatted to a lot of people over the last few years who are all at all different stages of their specialty coffee journey, I guess I would call it. So let's talk about some ways maybe that we can get our friends into specialty coffee, our parents, anything like that. Touch on some stuff like that. And of course, if you guys have any stories of getting your friends into it or how you got started, let us know. We love to chat about those things and
absolutely
and hear about it. But first of all, before we get right into the stories, I'd love to ask Joel a bit more about what specialty coffee actually is in a nutshell. Like, what is the difference between normal coffee, or just coffee, I guess, and specialty coffee, and why does it matter to have that specialty coffee side?
Yeah, cool. So, I mean, specialty coffee isn't just sort of like two words just thrown together and they're just like, you know, fancy latte art. It actually comes down to a grading system with the coffee. So it's a Q grade scale where pretty much 0 to 100 is the grading of coffee, and 80 and above is considered specialty. And to get those, I guess, grades, the farmer has to put in a lot of work, has to grow some really, really high quality stuff, and then also use really high quality processing methods. They work with a lot of, like, I guess, just over the last, like, say 10 to 20 years, a lot of like international barista champions have been actually working really closely with farmers around the world, and to really develop these, you know, incredible crops, and then allow the barista to just showcase those coffees on stage or at their specialty coffee shop. So yeah, specialty coffee is pretty much just like, it really does come down to quality.
Okay.
And yep. You know, that, like, I think those two words, specialty coffee, sort of like, they're highly regarded, but they, like, some people say it in sort of passing.
It's become a buzz term.
I found
like it's become a bit of a, you know, a bit of a buzz term that people will attach to anything to more prove that, like, oh, it's good coffee.
Yeah.
But it does actually mean something, doesn't it? It kind of comes from an association or something like that?
Yeah, and it's just like, I'm pretty much, it is just that quality based thing where, you know, if someone says it's specialty coffee, it's generally going to be a really, really nice coffee.
Yeah.
And it should be, you know, and it should be respected in that manner where it's made to a really high quality standard. But yeah, that's pretty much, in short, like, there's obviously a lot more depth to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe we'll touch point on that down the track.
Definitely,
where,
yeah.
You know, we'll actually get someone on the show who is a importer of coffee, or, you know, maybe one day we'll get a farmer on board.
Definitely. Yeah, that'd be so interesting.
Someone who's actually got experience in growing specialty coffee and just the processing methods that go into that, like the hands-on, I guess, you know, things that they have to do to develop quality coffee.
Yeah, it's like, it is a whole process as well. And I think it's easy as a everyday consumer of coffee to just, like, completely forget that for a moment and just, like, look over that and think, you know, okay, there's a bag of beans, then that gets ground up and then made into, you know, my coffee.
Yeah.
And I drink that and that's cool. And it was good or bad or whatever. But really there is just so much depth behind that, you know. It starts with the farmers. Then they've got to actually, you know, have the right conditions to grow those beans.
Yeah,
into,
it could be like a drought or something.
Yeah, it could be a drought or something. You know, there's so many steps. They've got to process them. They've got to pack them. They've got to ship them. There's the green beans. Then someone's got to roast them.
Yep.
And then someone's got to actually make it into the finished product.
Yeah.
Then it's in your cup. Then you drink it. Yeah. So, I guess it's nice to have specialty coffee as at least a way that we can tell that hopefully there's a lot of care and attention to detail and ethics as well along the way with that whole process.
And I think respect as well, like respecting the efforts that these people have gone to put in to grow this when it comes down to the person making the coffee as well. Like, you can make it however which way you want, but it's just, as long as you show respect to that person who grew it, which I think is really important, and I think gets lost along the process, like you said.
100%.
You see a bag of roasted coffee on the shelf, and then you get it, and you grind it, and you make coffee. But that's probably about 85% of the way. There's still that whole other, like, you know, the family-owned farm that's been in generational, you know, for multiple years. Then, yeah, it's just, there's such a huge, like, I guess, journey from crop to cup.
Yeah,
which
definitely.
Is amazing, which is why it's so special.
It is special, you know? Yeah. Yeah, very cool. So then, you know, it's great to just keep that in mind, and that I learn more about specialty coffee itself all the time. Like, I'm definitely no expert, but I love to hear more and chat to different people in different parts of that process. So that's cool. We'll touch more on that in the future, but it's nice to just get a quick overview of what specialty coffee is and why that's important to us rather than just coffee, whatever. Awesome. Well, moving on from that, like, how have you found your experience with other friends and family around specialty coffee to be? Like, do people show an interest? Because obviously you've had quite a long journey. You've been in coffee for maybe 10 plus years now, I guess, in that specialty coffee side. So how have people reacted to that, and how have they grown, you know, a likening to it, or just because of your association, or have you had to like bridge that gap a bit more for them?
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess, to be honest, when I first opened up the coffee shop that I had originally when I was 20, I'll be honest, I had like my journey with coffee, I was always kind of like a few steps ahead of my friends in that sense, which makes sense, you know. I was going to I was making coffee my professional career, so yep. You know, it's you do a lot more research than, you know, other people out there. You really want to, like, you know, make sure that you're doing the right thing, and, you know, get as much information and education as you can. And I guess, like, I've definitely gained a lot of respect amongst my peers over the 12 years that I've been involved in it. And it's just, like, it's funny because it all sort of started off as like this, you know, like, it's just coffee. And then you're like, well, no, actually there's, like, you know, try this. And they're like, wow, that actually tastes really different to what I'm used to. And then it sort of progressively grew and grew and grew on from that amongst my peers and my friends, that it's been an interesting sort of, like, decade year of experience with that, with, you know, just seeing people now to what they were back then as well. Like, now they're coffee snobs. You know, they're like, oh, I know all about specialty coffee. But back they were once one of those people that were just like, it's just coffee.
We all were at some point.
And that's it. It's like, I think I've changed a lot of, like, perception when it comes to like how coffee's been, you know, like, specialty coffee over the last 12 years and in amongst my friends and family, and just how, like, it's just blossomed into this, like, now they're like, filter coffee, they love drinking espresso, they love trying all different brew methods, and it's cool, it's exciting.
That's so exciting. Like, that, I absolutely love that. And to be able to see the influence that you've just had naturally on your friends, family, you know, the people that are around you. And I think it stems back to the passion that you obviously bring to it. Yep. Like, if you were like, yeah, I just do it for a job and I never really talk about it, they wouldn't care at all. But you've obviously extended that passion out and it builds a bit of a bridge for people to come over and check it out. Yeah, well done.
Yeah, I'd say I've been pretty lucky. Like, my really, really close mates, they do love quality. And so they weren't sort of, I guess, quick to sort of say, nah, like, mate, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
They were, like, really quite interested in it. And now they're sort of very much, you know, they're now making coffee at home on their espresso machines. And, you know, some of them have got batch brew at the office that they do, filter coffee at the office and things like that. Like, you know, they're like those, I guess, like, top probably 5% amongst home brewers at home that are like,
love it.
You know, they're really like, I'm like, yes. Like, they're like, Joel, do you want to come over for coffee? I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah, they've really taken it on.
Yeah. And like, that's, it's so always good. I know it's always going to be like, and they sort of do that. Does it taste good? I'm like, yeah, mate, it's great.
Yep. You can tell there's love and care and attention to detail put into it. And that's a lot of it. It's the intent there, not just the result.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool. I love hearing that you've been able to bridge that gap for people. Do you have any good stories of some friends that have really embraced it?
Yeah, I mean, like at the moment, I've got one of my, most recently, one of my good mates, he just bought a an espresso machine for home. So same one that I've got, same one that you've got, the dual boiler Breville. Now, he's pretty much just like, hey, I put coffee into it, turn it on, hit the button, but nothing comes out, or it just drips out, or if I put less in, it just flows out like crazy. And I'm just like, all right, mate, like let's... let me come over, I'll run you through the, you know, some sort of stock center. Like, and I was over at his place the other day having a beer, and he was just sort of like, I do this and I do that. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, let's take it back a notch and really simplify the process, where you just, like, first thing first, he doesn't have a grinder. I told him, best off getting a grinder.
Yeah.
But also get yourself a set of scales. Scales is really important, mm-hmm. because it just eliminates those variables of, if you're, say, for example, you've got pre-ground coffee that a cafe has ground for you, take it home, you're just putting it into the portafilter with a spoon or, you know, a little cup or whatever. That, if you then go to another coffee roastery or another cafe with different beans, you go, oh, but that's the same amount in there into the filter basket, but it's coming out differently. And it's like, well, yeah, it's two different coffees, probably from different places in the world, roasted differently. You got different solubilities. You know, there's a huge difference of variability. Hence the reason why weighing out your, I guess, input and output really does, I guess, eliminate those variables. Because if you, it's funny, if you put side by side, like ground coffee from roaster A, ground coffee from roaster B, and you just looked at them, you probably find one's a little bit less and one's a little bit more, but they both weigh 20 grams.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I weigh everything, and it's the only way I've been able to learn.
Ooh,
and I
think only way.
Only way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the only way. Yeah, but it's the only way I've been able to learn and eliminate any of those problems. Because I think that's a big thing to remember with making coffee, is that it's a process of elimination to get from point A to amazing coffee.
Yeah.
And you know, there might be a few stops along the way, a few things you need to eliminate. Definitely weighing it is a big one. Weighing what you're putting in, weighing what you're getting out of it.
Yeah.
Weighing how much water you're putting into it as well. And also, the grind yeah. size, the grind is like the biggest thing I have probably had problems with.
That's definitely one of the most frustrating parts, is especially when you're first starting off, because you might think like when you think about like particle sizes of grinds, you just like, there's such a minute change, but at the end of the day, you're putting water through it at a pressure.
Yeah.
And so if you change it slightly, that's like considerably, like to put things in perspective, like you've got on average 9 bar of pressure going through a certain particle size. If you change that slightly, that like 9 bars is quite a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen portafilters blow out of a group head before.
Whoa.
It's, yeah. I know. So it's a lot of pressure. Like, don't be scared. It happened because
unlikely
somebody didn't put the handle in properly. So make sure those handles are in. But yeah, like, you know, people think like large increments, but it's actually just a small little increment. So it's not, you know, that's where I can definitely see where it can get quite frustrating. And even at, when I brew at home sometimes, I'm just like, I made the tiniest little adjustment and yet it's just gone like 10 seconds faster than the extraction time, or, you know, like it's just not running as well, you know, certain things like that. So the grinder, I can definitely see how, you know, one of those frustrating.
Definitely. You know, what are some tips we can actually give to people to make their brewing process easier, or their process of elimination easier? I do love the tip of actually just getting a set of scales if you don't have one.
I would say to start things off, definitely get yourself a set of scales. Obviously all brewing methods are different, so to talk about like a grind size would be pretty difficult, because you know, you've got espresso, you've got V60, you've got Chemex, you've got AeroPress, you've got cold brew, you know, there's all sorts of different types of but like grinders these days for at home, they're really quite intuitive, because they've got those sorts of settings that you want to achieve as a ballpark, like built into the grinder.
Yeah.
Which is great.
That is good.
Yeah. So like, you know, you got the Breville's where they go I think on the little, I guess like dial, they've got little steps of like, this is espresso range.
Yep.
This is AeroPress range. This is V60 range. And this is plunger range or French press.
Same with the little hand grinders as well.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the people maybe that we might be speaking to through this are just getting started on the manual brewing side, and they might have just gotten a little hand grinder. I've got countless number of questions about hand grinders through my, you know, inbox and stuff like that. And it is hard to help, but it definitely is a process of elimination. And every time I've tried to help someone when I'm not in person, the best thing I could say is, figure out what might be like a really obvious thing that's messing you up. You know, check how's your water?
Yep.
What's your grind size like? How fresh is your coffee? And then bring the scales into it and make sure that you're weighing out each component. And I think you can usually from those things determine a better recipe or a way, a process of elimination to get to a
result you want. Yeah. And it's just all about consistency and like having that consistency across the board and eliminating those certain variables that, you know, you're just pretty much taking them straight out of there. It's going to be much easier, I guess, problem solving aspect when you do have an issue, and you can kind of go, okay, well, it's not the weight, it's not this, it's not that. Okay, if it's, I've weighed out the exact same amount, but it's not coming out, or it's like just slowly dripping out, I got to make it a bit coarser. And then you just do little increments, and then you find something that A, tastes really good, B, you know, works to, I guess, really tastes really good.
Yeah.
It really just comes down to what
works
your palate.
Works to your own.
Your individual unique palate.
Yeah.
And I mean, those are definitely like the, I guess, things to start off with, and then it starts to get a little bit more sort of technical and advanced. Yeah. But those are good starting points. I mean,
that's fine. Yeah. I mean, I think if you can get yourself into a ballpark, then it's just a matter of like improving over time, picking up things from watching other people.
Yep.
Just watch other people do it. Like, go to a cafe, and I've learned so much from just watching the barista.
Yeah.
Pretty much every time I will pick just a little thing up. It might be even that, like, okay, here's one thing.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that, like, hey, if you're struggling using one set of scales for making espresso because you're weighing out like your dose and then you're weighing out your yield and, you know, trying to figure that out, just get another set of scales.
Yeah.
Or if you've got like another kitchen scales,
yeah,
use those for like just setting up how much coffee you're going to grind or whatever, and then get a smaller one that can sit on your espresso. I know that might seem excessive for some people, but for me, I was like, it was a game changer to realize, oh my gosh, like I actually have another set of scales.
Yeah.
I could just be using
smaller
this
set and just
not
sits underneath.
Yeah, having to like constantly, all right, now I've got to move this, and you know, it was like a 20-step process just to make an espresso. Instead, now it's, you know, just broken that down a bunch. So,
and I think also writing things down as well.
Yeah,
write
that's
down
a big
what you've
one.
Done. That's the best way to do it.
Yeah,
and we do that in hospitality. Like we do that in specialty coffee. You write down all your recipes. You write down what works, what doesn't. Like that's the best way to, I guess, see what works and see what doesn't. But yeah, like, you know, my friends now are really starting to, you know, they do that. They've got their scales at home. They've got, you know, the coffee that they get. They know their grind sizes that work for them and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's cool to see that, I guess, them sort of not be involved in the professional side of specialty coffee, but they're still brewing some amazing coffee at home.
Yeah.
Which is great. It's fantastic.
And have you seen that go even further now from like, okay, you're into it, then your friends have started to get into it, and then now have you seen their extended network even start to get into it from them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, so funnily enough, I'm now at this sort of starting point again with Brill, because instant coffee has got such a stigma around it that I'm now trying to tell people in specialty coffee that I've actually, like, we've got something that is incredible on the palate and tastes really, really nice. But they're still like a bit instant. Like,
yeah, totally.
Cool. So now I'm kind of back at square one, where I've got friends who are into specialty coffee, but I say I've got instant specialty coffee now, and they're just like, nah, why is that like four times the price of my Makona?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, it all comes down to that, you know, quality, where we have sourced amazing quality coffee from these amazing farmers. We've brewed it to this certain method that allows us to get a really nice flavor and solubility out of the freeze drying process. which is, you know, no chemicals used, nothing like that. But now I'm at that starting point where I now have to explain to people, like, it's all over again. And I'm like, I've been here once before, I can do it again.
That's kind of fun though.
Got
another whole like entry point there. Yeah. Start the cycle again. That's pretty interesting as well, especially for instant specialty coffee.
Yeah.
It's a whole other angle. It's kind of cutting out that middleman that before you were like, nah, man, you need all this equipment. Now you can go, great product, easy result.
Yeah, yeah. Kettle, cup, teaspoon.
Done. Bang. Even, you know, just a bit of hot water out of the tap if you really
need it. And I mean, like, you know, I still love brewing my, you know, methods and you're doing all that sort of stuff, but if I can't be bothered, that brew's just then and there. And I'm just like, this is a delicious coffee, and it all, like, we've obviously done a lot of hard work to get to where we are, but again, it all comes back down to, like, this is why I respect the farmers.
Yeah, exactly. We wouldn't be able to do, there.
We wouldn't be able to break that, like, get that innovation and break that barrier without the incredible farmers.
Cool. Yeah, paying respect to the actual the source of the coffee. It's all coming from that same amazing place, and those amazing people, such as the farmers and you know, the importers and all of the roasters as well, who then can help back with the farming and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful cycle. It's good to remember that and come back to it. On from that too, with you know, like, you've got how the Brill Instant Specialty Coffee and anything along those lines is kind of like a new product now to show people and get them into it. What other coffee methods, or, you know, specific styles of coffee, have been the game changers or like those pinnacle turning points for people getting more into specialty coffee?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd probably use working at coffee shops as a bit of like an example with that, because people would come in and they'd just try, you know, they're just like, I just want my espresso based coffee. I want either a milk based coffee or a long black. And then, you know, those people would come in, we'd obviously start to get really friendly with them, develop a good relationship, and then be like, hey, have you ever tried batch brew before?
Yeah.
And they're like, what'd you call me, bro? Like, and I'm like, no, batch brew, it's filter coffee. It's like, and they're like,
oh, such a batch.
Black. Yeah, they're like, black coffee. And I'm like, no, it's really tasty. You get like, and you explain to them like a flavor profile. You're just like, you know, you get these amazing stone fruits out of it. Like, you know, hint of raspberry, or, you know, this chocolatey body. And they're just like, so did you infuse these flavors into this thing? And
yeah, I'm like, people get very confused when I say, like, it's like, tastes like raspberry jelly, and they're like, what?
Yeah,
what did are you on about,
raspberry,
man?
Jelly in this or something?
Oh, so it's like 50% raspberry jelly.
Yeah, and it's,
no,
just like,
it's really cool.
It's like wine tasting, you know. It's like, it's like tasting all sorts of different things.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
You get those different flavor profiles.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, and like, you know, you let them try it. Like, some people are still just like, nah, not for me.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's fine.
Totally.
But then you get these other people who you just completely just opened up this new world of different brew methods. And now those people will come in and they'll be like, ooh, what do I want to have today? Do I want to have my flat white, or do I want my long black, or do I want my batch brew, or do I want this? Or
I find it really hard to decide as well.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm in with Alex, my partner will get, you know, say a flat white and a batch brew, because then we can have some of both. But yeah, like, it is really hard sometimes, because I love filter coffee so much now. Which one am I going for? Even though my brain goes, you want a milky coffee, but then I'm like, but I want to taste the flavors of a black coffee, and it's a little bit softer on your stomach as well. I find really interesting, just the response to people when they try the black coffee for the first time. And I think it's natural, the way that we've grown up, at least the last 10 or 20 years of coffee in Australia, like, a long black is pretty common.
Mm.
And I'd say in America as well, like, that's a very common drink. As well, even, I guess, like, back to the Italian roots of coffee and stuff like that, it's a lot of espresso and then maybe a little bit of water added with that. You know, you've got a double espresso and some water, you've got a long black. I can understand why that's the perception of black coffee.
Yeah.
But filter is a whole other game.
Yeah,
really brings out flavors.
Yeah, and I think it's those flavors.
It's more like wine.
Yeah.
It really is.
Definitely.
And I think too, like, I'll just touch on for a second there, which you'll be able to add way more context, but with filter coffee as well, it's not actually any flavors or anything being added to that. It's more the processing methods and the type of, you know, regions that it comes from.
Yeah.
That brings out those flavors. But can you maybe, like, add a little bit more context as to why filter coffee is so amazing.
I mean, it, like, pretty much it's just the raw product of coffee. And like, when you grow this amazing, it's just like any sort of, like, I guess, fruit, you know, if you have a crop of like world-class, I don't know, let's just say apples.
Yeah.
They're going to taste really good. Same with coffee, but coffee's on those, like, it's on such a unique level where you can do certain different, I mean, like, there's definitely, it's very similar to wine.
Yeah.
You know, wine's got all these different processing methods as well. And they're really starting to like break those barriers as well and get that innovation happening in those sectors where, you know, they're getting even better yields from the crops. They're getting even better, I guess, like flavor profiles and more unique profiles. And like they'll blend certain crops to get an even crazier profile. Like it's just, it all comes down to this, that science and innovation and really just taking it to that next level. And I think that's why, again, it's called specialty coffees.
Yeah.
It, you know, like there are some geishas and crops out there that are just like I think it was like watermelon and like raspberry, lime raspberry cordial or something was one of the tasting notes. And I was just like,
that's so good.
It does taste like that.
It really does. Hey, yeah.
It's like, you know, obviously, you know, there is also a lot of training involved in with training your palate to, you know, find those flavors. Because people, a lot of the time when we do cuppings and things where people try coffee, you know, like they try these different coffees on the table, they're just like, wait, I can taste something, but I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah.
And so you got this, guess, like flavor chart on the wall.
Mm. Then we'll link up to the flavor chart,
like,
as well.
Like what color can you taste? That's the best way to describe.
I was going
to
say that. Yeah, I've heard that from a few different roasters and, yep, and cupping, you know, events that I've been to, they say to start off with picturing a color. Yep. Sometimes you can be like, oh, it's purple. It's, you know, it's berry. I don't know, something like that. It might, yep, be like, oh, it's orange.
Yeah, stone fruit. Or
it's a bit citrus. Sour. It's lime. Yep. You know, it's a green color. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
To start off with that, and I think I feel like I'm still in that stage myself. Yeah. But that's helped me a lot to do it, and just tasting any kind of flavors and finding contrast as well. Yeah. Like, wow, this one's really citrusy, this one's really sour, this one's really, you know, tastes like candy, you know.
Yeah.
Things like that. So yeah, finding some of those little variances, that's really cool. So yeah, definitely keep having fun showing your friends.
Absolutely.
different types of coffee. I know for Alex and I, we've been running a little, helping out with a volunteer-based creative event called Creative Mornings for the past couple of years. And we've been serving the coffee there. And it's usually around 100 to 150 people per event. And we most of the time serve filter coffee and feature a different roaster each month. And it's so funny though to see a lot of the reaction from people. They're like, do you have milk? Do you have sugar?
Yeah.
What do you got here? And, you know, we break it down and just explain a little bit about filter coffee,
yep,
some flavor notes that this particular coffee has that we've got there that day, and just encourage them to have a crack and just have a taste. I'll give you a little bit. You can have a taste. Come back in a few minutes. If you like it, I can give you some more. That's great.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, like, don't feel like you have to drink it. You can tip it out. That's totally fine.
Yeah.
But 9 times out of 10, they come back. They're like, can I please have some more?
Yeah.
That was great. I didn't know that.
Got another little cheeky bit for me.
Yeah. No, I love it. Well, I really encourage people to just, keep having fun with coffee.
Absolutely.
Get their friends involved, get their family involved, and let us know how that goes.
Let us know if you've got these stories about, you know, introducing, I guess, specialty coffee to your friends and their reactions and that type of thing.
Yeah.
we love it. Send it through to all the socials. And
yeah, we're going to have more stories to come.
Absolutely.
No doubt. Find us on the socials at the.monday.coffee for Instagram. Shed Brewing on YouTube if you're joining us on video, or if you want to watch us in person more so, jump on there, give us a like, give us a subscribe, a little bit of a comment, hit the notification bell, that's a good one. Any questions or ideas, send them through. We love to have this chat and keep talking. Thanks guys, I'm Tyler, awesome. This is Joel, and we'll see you guys next time.
See you guys.
Bye.